Our first reading is from the book of Daniel. It's on page 949 in your pew Bibles. We read Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in the book of Revelation, page 1333. We read Revelation 19, beginning at verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1094. And we read Luke 1, verses 26 through 37. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Our text for today is from the book of Revelation we read earlier, and these words in particular. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is our text. There's a lot of names by which we know our God. Jesus, Father. There's that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Beautiful Savior. We identify God in a lot of different ways. But one way in which we identify him is not, if you will, a name that is comfortable to our culture. King of Kings. We don't have kings here in the United States. We elect people. If you will, everybody is accountable to someone. But it's not so with kings. In the ancient world, they were accountable to no one but themselves. Their word was law. And if you didn't like it, they didn't care. And if you rebelled against it, you'd be punished. And there wasn't any appeal to some other person to intervene. That's what it meant to be a king. And, you know, we're just not used to that kind of stuff around here. I was reminded of that when, quite a few number of years ago now, my wife shared a story about one of the employees that she worked with at Hy-Vee. I can't remember what the issue was, but something had come down from the store director. Some policy was changed, some job routine was altered. Whatever it was, there was an employee that was extraordinarily upset by it. For a few days, they complained openly to other employees that would give a listen of how wrong that was. And finally, they determined they were going to change things. They were going to march up to the store director's office, and they were going to tell that store director, "If you don't change this, I'm turning in my 2 weeks' notice." And you know what they believed? That threat was enough to get the policy changed. And so, in arrogance and pride, they marched up the stairs to the store director's office, sat down, and said, "If you don't change, I'm putting in my 2 weeks' notice." And you know what happened? The store director looked at that person and said, "Oh, you don't have to turn in your 2 weeks' notice. You're done now." And when next seen, the individual was walking down the stairs with their coat in hand out the front door, never to return. They also had a very surprised look on their face. They couldn't believe that their power and their authority and their opinion meant nothing. Now, store directors aren't quite kings, at least in their own store. But Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sometimes we forget that. Every now and again throughout my ministry, I've heard Christian people, sometimes active Christians, more often inactive Christians, you know, the kind that doesn't come to church very often, say with great conviction, "Well, you know, the reason I, whatever, is because I'm angry with God." As if That's going to get you somewhere. I've heard individuals say, well, you know, yeah, I know I should be doing this, but I guess for right now, I'm just being kind of rebellious. As if God is not someone who really has to be obeyed. As if he really has no power over us. As if his word really doesn't count. My friends, people who say such things have no idea what it means when we say that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His word is not an optional thing. His power and his might are not things to be trifled with. God's word is absolute. It never changes. And nor will anyone who rejects it face anything but God's wrath and judgment. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you know, those are not the only things that were on the robe that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was wearing, as described in the book of Revelation. If we go back just a few verses, there's something else on that robe. It said in verse 13, he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. The blood referred to in that verse is not the blood of others. It's his own blood. The blood that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords willingly shed on the cross for you and me. For you see, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, though it be names that properly describe him, they are not the only names that describe him. Loving Father, Sacrificial Lamb. There are all kinds of other names that describe our God, who, yes, is absolute, who, yes, is powerful, who, yes, will come one day to be our judge. But as we celebrate at Christmas, he also came into this world a long time ago, not simply to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us. To take we who are sinners, we who are angry without cause, we who rejected him, despised him, whose sins placed him on that cross, might turn to him and once again desire to become his obedient children, who serve him not out of fear, but out of love for the great sacrifice that he has made for us. That we might become children, desirous of being welcomed back into his loving arms, and that we would want to serve him forever righteousness, in innocence, and in blessedness. As we close out this season of Advent, we remember Christ the prophet, Christ the priest, and Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, who will be served for all eternity by those who love him, who will have his loving children, be obedient to his every word forever, but who also has loved us and given the life of his very own Son, that we who were once rebellious might now become his obedient children and address him as King of kings and Lord of lords, but also as Father and friend. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.